Hello, and welcome to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your co-creator, Colin Ketchin. Oh, that's a lot of alliteration. I'm here to remind you that for the next 7 episodes, that's the rest of Cycle 4, we are running a raffle so that one of you can pick a topic for an episode in the next cycle. The only thing that you need to do to enter is to share the posts that we make on Facebook and Twitter each week when we post an episode. And with 7 episodes left, that's 7 more chances to enter this raffle. If you like the show, and we hope you do, don't miss your chance to be a part of it. We have more details on Facebook and on our website, but I will delay you no further. Here is Taimul Chowdhury with episode 26, and thank you for listening to this.
Hello, and welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or common reading program for geek culture. Each episode, we select a topic that 4 people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. Joining me this episode are...
I can't see your screen. I don't know who you're pointing at.
Oh, right. You, order. There should be an order, shouldn't there?
Yeah, is there an order? Because you didn't...
Eddie Matt Keenan.
That works.
Unique New York.
Just say your goddamn
unique
name.
Unique New York.
Red Baby Bubble Bubbers.
Hello, my name is Edward Ryan, and today I'm going to be representing The Dark Knight.
Hey, I'm Matt Canavan, and I'm not stuck on a mountain, and I'm representing Star Wars.
Show me potato salad.
Show me what you got.
I thought it was my turn, but I guess I was wrong.
It is your turn. You just didn't say anything, man.
Oh, shut up, fascist. Hey, it's me, Keenan. Hi, Sheriff. I will be representing the good, the bad, and the ugly.
You're going to be representing me, you, and Matt?
And I hate to break it to you guys, but I'm the good.
Dibs on bad.
I'll be ugly, guys.
I mean, that's hard for you to do, sexy.
All right, let's stop this now.
No, I want it to go further.
Okay.
Further than I've ever gone before.
Okay.
I want to go all the way.
Do it.
That's right, people.
Do it on screen. Now.
This podcast has changed. More mature themes right now.
Keenan, kiss my buns.
I'll kiss your leathery buns. Man, I hope they're golden brown.
Eddie, quit being a big.
You know what, Matt? I appreciate that you recognize my generosity. But this poo is cold. We're quoting something from 1999. Taimul, please take control.
And I'm your host, Taimul Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. For this episode's topic, I've selected Marvel vs. Capcom, and the theme is video game music versus movie music. So, for this episode, what I had everyone do is listen to music from the Marvel vs. Capcom series, and some character themes from, like, various Marvel...
motion pictures.
What Marvel vs. Capcom is a fighting game that has... characters from the Marvel Universe fight against characters that originate from a video game company called Capcom.
Which is a weird choice, I'll say.
Pretty good game, though.
It's weird, but it's great. Some of the best fighting games ever.
Yeah, but saying a good fighting game is like, man, that disgusting dog carcass looks nice.
Keenan, go MK yourself.
Yes. Yes, Keenan.
Get out of here, nerd. There's only one good fighting game, and that's Naruto Ultimate Ninja 3, all right?
Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Shippuden 3 Boruto Edition.
I'm sorry, that game was great. Don't you hate? I played the shit out of that last game. I'll school your ass, son.
You mean my buns?
No, I meant your ass.
Hey, Chowder, what do you think we should do next?
I don't know. Maybe we just jump straight to the discussion.
How about no? How about do the summary?
Yeah,
I have pizza to eat.
All right, summary.
But seriously, just fucking do it.
Summarize the shit that we watched or listened to, rather.
Yes. I have the shit written down, but like I...
Then read it.
Keenan, I'm going to stuff a monkey in your buns.
I mean, is that a promise?
Yep. Hold on.
It's a weird episode already, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. Yes,
nah,
it is.
I think it's pretty tame, to be honest.
All right, so here's the premise on which I had everyone listen to these songs in the first place. It's I know this is more of a personal opinion, but I feel like video game music often feels more memorable and more inspired than music that's often in like movies these days. I feel like nowadays movies tend to have very bland soundtracks in comparison to video games, and that's not always necessarily the case. In 2 videos I had, each of the representatives watch were by a YouTuber called Every Frame of Painting.
Bro, that was that guy?
Yeah.
It was a pretty sick video. I liked it a lot.
No, it was a good video. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really like that guy. I think he's pretty chill.
Yeah.
It's one of Keenan's homies. They hang out every day.
In those videos, he basically talks about why it is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't seem to have a music that anyone remembers. What I wanted to accomplish in this episode was to just have us all just listen to interpretations of various characters, see how those interpretations differ in one medium versus another medium.
Yeah, and let's do that thing that you said.
I split these up into, like, each character, so let's start with Captain America.
When is that used in the game?
Yeah, because you said these are all character themes, but I have never played these games extensively at all.
I have never played these games.
I have played them.
When it comes to Marvel versus Capcom, these themes play depending on what stage you're fighting in, and those stages are like based around each of the characters. With Captain America's theme, this is like one of the iconic ones from the game series. It's just like the kind of music I imagine when I think of like Captain America. It's like very bombastic. It's very heroic sounding. The way the song starts is really catches your attention. It's got a very strong, heroic sounding melody that very American, which is appropriate, you know?
America, fuck yeah.
Sorry, I was listening to the Captain America song, so I kind of wasn't paying attention. But yeah, I agree with everything Tom Wool said, I think.
Eddie, what the...
God damn it.
I thought it sounded pretty America-y. You know, it's like a... It's very, like, techno-y, kind of fits in the style of, like, fighting games. I mean, I think that's a thing that it happens with all the songs that we listened to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, each of the songs in Marvel vs. Capcom often are, like, very techno-y or very rock-like. And I think that's part of what makes them so catchy is that they're often a bridge-chorus. That's, you know, the format of, like, pop songs. And the other Captain America song I had them listen to was main titles from the first Avenger.
I like when the trumpets come in. That was dope. I think it was also used in the other one. I liked it a lot.
I didn't like it. I thought it was super boring. Like, I don't remember it after listening to it.
We'll argue during the discussion.
Probably.
All right, next character is Spider-Man. And this song sticks out to me because it's kind of a jazz kind of track, and it's also heroic sounding, but like in a very different kind of way. It's much more calm, much more easygoing, which I feel is appropriate for the character, who's kind of a wisecracking, easygoing kind of character.
He's a kid. That's it.
And like, there's one thing I especially love is that I said it was a jazz track.
You like jazz?
I mean, I do like jazz. And like, but more specifically,
is that meme dead?
There's practically like an auditory pun in like,
oh, meme is dead.
Spider-Man's theme is swing music. yeah.
That's kind of clever.
With a Sam Raimi movie, instead it's epic kind of sounding song.
It's epic AF. Epicism K.
One of the things that I noticed about it is that it was much more staccato. It's like almost like you're tiptoeing, almost like a spider moving around in its web, you know?
Oh man, it's like Matt's a musician or something.
I felt that the Sam Raimi score is very thematic.
Yeah, I don't know. It's familiar just probably because we've heard it, you know, in five different movies.
Well, it's not the same music.
Really? Feels like it's the same every time.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm still surprised that you would call Spider-Man's theme swing.
To stress, I'm not an expert on music either. We're all just kind of fighting blind here.
Tamu, what you should have done was kick Keenan, Matt, and I all off of this episode and have Colin, Austin, and Pat.
Eddie, I have some musical ability.
Dude, I was just kidding, man.
Technically, I am Pat today, so.
Oh, that's true.
Someone, Colin, please edit in the Pat laugh.
Specifically.
So, the Iron Man.
Next up is Iron Man.
Is not the song Iron Man. Real waste of an opportunity.
Then we have Phoenix. We listened to the
Marvel vs. Capcom, and from X-Men The Last Stand, which is the third X-Men movie.
It's X3, actually.
I disagree. I believe Days of Future Past is the third X-Men movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, fuck this. No, we are not getting into the goddamn
I'm continuity. Actually not sure this timeline.
No.
I believe that Last Stand was wiped from the canon.
No, it was still... Wait, has it?
They went back in time and changed the past.
No.
They went back in time in three different movies, okay? I don't understand any of this anymore. I just know that Wolverine
here for hours. Why did I choose this?
And then Wolverine was a samurai.
Although, it's weird, because in the comics, that was originally back during the samurai days. So, like, that also counts as time travel, if you think about it.
So then we listen to Thor's theme from Marvel vs. Capcom and from the Thor movie.
And then Ghost Rider. Best Nick Cage movie ever.
A quick comment about that. Like, from the Ghost Rider movie, I'm just kind of confused why they didn't go...
Like, how did it not win an Oscar, right?
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'm confused, like, why they didn't make his theme a metal song, because Ghost Rider is literally just...
He's pretty metal.
A walking metal album. That is what Ghost Rider is. And
because it's risky. Cough, cough.
Maybe it's because Ghost Rider is originally a Western, so maybe that's why.
All right. Then we listened to... Wolverine, Hulk, and Deadpool.
Which Hulk movie was that?
That was The Incredible Hulk.
Is that the one with Edward Norton?
The one with Edward Norton, yeah. The one that's canon.
It's not the terrible one, it's just the bad one.
The main problem with the Ang Lee Hulk film is who was like, hey, you know who should direct a movie about the Hulk? Ang Lee. Ang Lee's a great director. He's phenomenal.
Yes.
He has no business directing a movie about the Hulk. Okay, I don't know if you've seen that movie recently. 10 or 15 times throughout the movie, in the middle of scenes, it just randomly cuts to, like, really beautiful shots of nature for no reason.
And then cuts back to, like...
And then cuts back to, like, stuff happening. And it's like, what is going on here, Ang Lee?
And then it flashes back to a kid using puppets to, like, act out his parents' like, murder.
Yeah,
and
then he added this, all this shit that shouldn't have been there, because he was trying to make some other, like, art house film, and it's like, no.
About the Hulk? Shut the fuck up, Ang Lee.
All right, so to bring this to the song, where the Marvel vs. Capcom song is basically a rock song, The Incredible Hulk is actually pretty interesting, and I think he more suits the Hulk more, because
it's the music is swelling throughout.
It's swelling throughout. That is the perfect set of words.
Swollen, so to be.
The other nice thing about the Hulk theme, the Hulk TV show from back in the day, it's like this kind of like sad like piano song where it's just like it's just a piano just like playing. Banner is just like hitchhiking because he's alone and he can't like have attachments or like stay with people in one place because he might turn into Lou Ferrigno and kill them.
Right.
Oh, that's always rough.
When he's at his best, both in I think character and in music, the themes play off those kind of feelings of sadness. And I think the Incredible Hulk theme that you had us listen to does that as well. Like it is swelling, but when it has those dips, it's just kind of like
more melancholy.
Yeah, it feels melancholy.
Yeah,
I would agree.
As mentioned before, I had these guys watch videos from Every Frame of Painting called the Marvel Symphonic Universe, where he talks about why Marvel lacks really interesting themes, and you know, he goes into various reasons, both technical and cultural. Directors telling composers make the music like kind of blend into the background, and also just the prevalence of temp music, where during editing, editors will put in music that's supposed to be removed and replaced with something else. But because they cut to that temp music, composers have no choice but to like make music that's sort of like that temp music, but just barely different from it.
You know, I honestly agreed with that first video. It made some very interesting points.
So to wrap this all up,
word.
Yeah, that's the summary. We've summarized the shit out of that. Let's move on to each of our representatives and have them do representative shits. Starting with Eddie Ryan and The Dark Knight.
Hey, how's it going? Today I have brought The Dark Knight.
She's in the studio?
As my domain, mostly the soundtrack. Well, first of all, The Dark Knight is a film that came out in 2008.
You can't prove that.
Directed by Christopher Nolan. It's the sequel to Batman Begins.
Oh, Batman Begins? I loved that. Was that the one with Danny DeVito?
Eat it, okay.
So, the soundtrack was composed by Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard.
Love that Zimmer.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer is pretty good. Yeah. I like him. I, like I said earlier, I don't know a lot about music.
I don't think any of us do.
but I like the Dark Knight soundtrack. Sometimes I just listen to it. Generally, if I've got like something to do and I'm like, I need some music, but like not with words in it.
Because so you listen to the score, not the soundtrack?
Because words in it will
distract
me. So the reason I wanted to bring it, it helps us to talk about the points that Time Wool is bringing with like the videos he had us watch. It does some of the things that those videos claim is not good.
Like what?
Can you hum a song from The Dark Knight?
I couldn't.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. Hmm. Especially not for a film like The Dark Knight. So when we get into the discussion, I'm going to be making some arguments to support the claims Temple's making today and some against. So,
you moderate, choose a side.
I'm pretty looking forward to that. I'm pretty looking forward. Fuck me. I am looking forward to that.
All right.
The theme for Batman, they came up with in Batman Begins, and that kind of carries over. And so that's something that even if you can't, like, hum it, like, when it plays in the film, you recognize it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's the Batman song, you know? And then with, like, the theme for the Joker, what they did for, like, some of it was they, like, took razor blades to string instruments and, like, oof, pulled them along the strings to, like, create some of the sounds for the Joker theme.
I feel like musicians cringe at the thought of that.
Yeah, to make it sound kind of, like, twisted and chaotic, yeah, and stuff.
That's interesting.
So I think
didn't
that's really
that
cool. Yeah, and a lot of the music in the movie is very thematic, and really, I think, elevates a lot of the scenes that it's a part of, but doesn't steal them.
Right.
I think if the music was more brash and, like, memorable and hummable, it might steal some of those scenes. And the whole trilogy is very character-driven, more than a lot of
stuff. So what you're saying is, sorry to cut you off, I'm just trying to, what you're saying is, you think that sometimes music should be in the background so it's not distracting.
I think so. And it depends on the movie, right, and the scene.
That's cool.
Christopher Nolan was taking a more realistic approach. So to have kind of like this bombastic, like, you know, memorable, like, brash music would have, I think, been a disservice to the story that was being told in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, so and
I like the subdued soundtrack that they have, and I will probably go into more detail during the discussion.
And that's interesting because previous Batman movies have had that bombastic song.
Oh yeah,
you know, the
1989, was it 89? The Tim Burton movie?
Or is 89 the second one? Is the first one 86? What's 80? What came out in 86?
Well, it's the first Batman movie directed by Tim Burton.
It's 89.
Yeah, it's 89.
What superhero movie came out in 86?
I don't know, Steel.
That movie's composer was Danny Elfman, and the score he made for that is actually pretty iconic.
Hell yeah.
So when you take that and compare it to The Dark Knight, it's an interesting contrast. And we can get more into that in the discussion. Next.
Oh, Howard the Duck came out in 1986, not Batman.
Just shut up. I hate you so much. You wanted to worm that in,
guys,
didn't
isn't
you?
Isn't it weird how Howard the Duck had a movie before Batman?
I hate you. You came to this podcast with an ulterior motive, you son of a bitch.
Well, anyways, let's...
God,
anyways,
you're a scumbag. We're moving on right now.
Let's move on to Matt Canavan and Star Wars.
Matt, bick it up real good, man.
Stop saying words like you know their meaning.
So, hey, it's me. I'm talking about the Star Wars soundtrack. Specifically, the one from the original motion picture, A New Hope.
Be thankful that I kept him from
trying to represent All-Star.
Somebody!
If you guys are interested in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, you should check out Episode 10 of this podcast.
Or not.
Shameless self-promotion?
Yep.
Anyways, the movie soundtrack is one of the most recognizable soundtracks of all time. It was composed by
John Williams!
Yeah, him. Sexy. It was performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. One of the things that really, really like about it is that the soundtrack itself can tell a story without anything else. If you were to just listen to it from start to end, which...
I gotta go get pizza, I'll be right
okay,
back.
You get your pizza, Eddie.
That's fine.
Alrighty.
Which, if you listen to any other modern soundtrack, like the Marvel movies, for example, you can't do that. It's filler noise.
Yeah, there's just so many iconic songs.
I really agreed with the video that Chowder had us watch about how they don't really try to tell a story through the music and how they use the temp music to kind of fill in and create a background noise. Like, I would compare the Marvel soundtrack to video game music in the sense that it's designed to surround you and add to the experience, but it's not the main focus. You're supposed to be focused on the plot or the fighting.
That never occurred to me, like, that video game music is supposed to just sort of surround you, but, like, video game music so often is, like, very tuneful, and it's very well known for that. There's, like, an entire community of remixers because of it.
I will say, there's one thing I want to add. The way that Star Wars was, I'm just gonna save it for the discussion. I'm gonna drop some knowledge bombs.
Yeah, this which will be a good topic to discuss later on, I think.
Yeah, we need to move on.
I'm back. I have pizza now.
Oh, sweet. For all of us?
Next up, we have Kenan Kodesh.
That's High Sheriff to you.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A movie which I represented in a previous movie. A movie that I represented in a previous episode.
Cool.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was the Watchmen episode, yes.
That's interesting.
Do you not listen to every episode of the podcast, Kenan?
I don't remember a lot of them.
Wow.
But that's just because sometimes I listen to it while I'm doing other stuff.
Kenan's trying to get kicked off the podcast right now.
Hey, guys, did you know that Kenan's favorite thing ever is Death Note?
I'm going to murder you, Pat. It won't be pretty.
You gonna write his name in your little notebook?
Anyway, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's a part of the Dollars trilogy, and it was released in like 66 or 67. I think 67 or 66 or 67.
66 was Howard the Duck.
It was directed by Sergio Leone, that's saying the name right. And the music was composed by Ennio Morricone, who was Morricone. Ennio Morricone.
This episode is just full of names that we can't pronounce. Isn't it?
John Williams.
That's probably not how it's pronounced. Nah.
Timur Chidarar.
I mean, that's the way other people have pronounced
Ed-da-da
it.
Edda
when they're talking to him.
Alright, let's let Kenan summarize.
Okay.
It's a movie that it's set in the Southwest during the Civil War, and it's about this mysterious stranger named Joe, played by Clint Eastwood, and he teams up with this Mexican outlaw. Hold on. There's a motorcycle.
I heard it.
And yeah. Not in the movie.
Didn't they do a remake of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No. Thank God. Oh, wait, no. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a remake of a Japanese samurai film.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a... Shut up.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
It's a spaghetti western. What are you doing, Samurai Gold Diggers? Because I wasn't even close to the same...
The samurai movies are a lot like westerns.
Anyway, I'm going to continue fucking talking, you fascist.
The Dolls trilogy are remakes of Japanese samurai movies. That's not a bad thing. That's just a fact.
Nah, I don't know about that. You might be right, Rabbit. I don't know enough to say right. Anyway, motorcycle. And mainly the song I'm thinking of is one of the most iconic songs in all of, I think, cinema. And I would argue that to death. And it wouldn't be hard. The song is called The Good and the Bad and the Ugly. And you've definitely heard it if you've ever watched a movie, played a game, turned on a TV show. because it's, you know,
it's in everything.
It's what's known as, it's basically like the showdown, the standoff song, and you know,
the Pooh's Getting Real song.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's one of the most parodied and referenced and redone songs in cinema.
Yeah, I agree.
But in addition to that song, there's also full of personal themes, which is traditional to, you know, pretty much any movie score.
Okay.
I'm done. You guys, I don't have that fucking long of lag.
No, we thought you were going to keep...
Nope, it's...
Are we all...
Yeah. Cool. Next, we move on to the discussion, the meat and potatoes
and knuckles
of this podcast. All right,
I wanna say something. I got stuff to say.
And hold on a second.
Hello? Who's playing music?
All right, guys, let's talk poo about him.
All right, well, I don't like his hair. I don't like his face. I don't like his interior, like, fucking decor. I mean, look at that. What is that, a basement? Jeez. Kind of Art Deco.
He's kind of a buns hole. Is that a Guitar Hero guitar in the background there?
You have no idea.
No, it's going to take a while.
Oh, it's going to take a while, Chowder.
Oh, it's going to take a while. Is he saying we're fucking... He's back. Oh, hi, Chowder. Anyway, we were just discussing domestic policy.
While you were gone.
So my first question is, what are your thoughts on the songs? Did you like any of them, hate any of them?
I'll be honest.
What are your thoughts, Time Wolf?
Oh, I was going to say things.
Go ahead, Keenan. I was kidding.
I'll be honest, except for, like, Ghost Rider, most of the Capcom music, to me, fell way by the wayside. They all kind of, to me, sounded mostly the same.
Yeah, I agree.
Ghost Rider was just so distinctly different that I was like, ah, that's clearly something different. The movie music stayed... Except for, like, some of the Spider-Man music. There were pieces of, like, movie music that, to me, really, like, I remember. Mainly, like, the Captain America music for when, like, the trumpets come in. It's very, like, military-esque.
Yeah, and patriotic.
That's Captain America.
Yeah, but it's generically military-esque, you know? I feel like it's...
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Yeah, but it's American military-esque. That's the important thing.
I mean, but, like, I don't think it's generic. I think it's just... It's recognizable. I think there's a difference between being generic and being, you know, known. But I think it's just, it's really simple, and to me that speaks to, like, Captain America.
So, when we were watching the Every Frame of Painting video, he was, like, asking people, like, oh, can you hum a song from any Marvel movie, right? You know, his point was that people can't. Personally, I can't hum any of them, except for the Captain America one.
Right.
You know, that one? Like, that's super good.
Yeah.
And it's very Captain America-y. Yes. And I love it.
Truly American.
Yeah. But as far as, like, to answer Tom Wool's question, I liked everything we listened to. There is kind of the caveat that it's a fighting game. It's kind of a high energy type of thing. So all the songs have to be high energy as well.
All the songs basically have to be for what is effectively a fight
scene. Yeah, they wouldn't exactly play, like, Ave Maria.
Exactly. Though, oh my goodness, can you imagine a stage in a fighting game where, like a chorus is singing, like...
Wait, like a final boss?
Oh my god, yes!
Eat this! That would be kick-ass.
I mean,
kick buns. That would be kick buns.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that.
The Smash Bros. Series has done, like, stuff like that where they've had, like, choruses.
They also had Nintendogs, so your point is invalid. Now, I kind of touched on this before, but the video game music and the Marvel music are both very, very similar in the sense that you're meant to be focused on the action in the movie or the fighting in the game. And what the music does is that it encapsulates you and surrounds you in that environment.
Dude, I totally
agree. I agree, too. Because I was going to make this point at some point, so may as well now.
Good point.
When it comes to me and video game music nowadays, I think of it as a mechanic. For example, I know when combat has started and ended in the BioShock games. Because, you know, in BioShock Infinite, there's that, you know, that...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to let dude, you know that point. Combat is over. Yeah. And to me, music is more of a mechanic. And there's very few times where I've heard video game music and been like, oh my god, that touched me. from when you first seen Rapture in Bioshock. And then the other one, I don't know the name of it, but the Halo theme, you know?
Let me jump in, because I was going to bring up Halo. You know, like, yeah, like a lot of the songs from Pokemon, I can hum Guile's theme.
Yeah, like you're saying it now, and I don't even play Pokemon, but I can think of the battle music, you know.
But like with Halo, is that's a cinematic. As a Halo player, you can recognize the Halo music, and everyone who's played Halo can hum the, you know, like the choral thing.
Like I can like hum like some of the songs from Halo 3, and I haven't even played that game.
Yeah, I like what you were saying about it being a cinematic game, because that really changes if the music is designed to complement the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with more single-player driven games, I would argue with, like, you can really remember, like, the music. But I don't think, like, fighting games and stuff really have that. Yeah, Matthew?
I mean, think of the streamers on Twitch. Like, they don't play the music in the background of the game. They play their own playlists.
Never done Twitch.
You know, the video game's music is not required to enjoy the video game. Now, if you look at something like Star Wars, there's a very popular video on YouTube where it's the final scene where Han and Luke get the medals from Leia, but they cut all of the music out of the scene.
Yeah, it's awkward, dude.
And it is ridiculously awkward.
Yeah.
It is absolutely essential. And most, if not all, video games, it's just not required.
Yeah, I agree with you there as well. Yeah,
so I want to say something here, because that make. Yeah,
so
that,
I
that,
think with video hold games up. No, I'm going no one's stopping me with video games. So Halo, it is a first person shooter, and it's a good one, but the point of Halo is the story. Granted, some people, you know, play it just to play the online multiplayer, but if you're playing the single player of Halo, you're playing it for the story. You know, the game mechanics are all good, but that's not why you're there, you know? Where if you play something, if you play Marvel vs. Capcom, you're playing it for the game mechanics and the gameplay.
Yeah, I really wanted to play Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 because of characters.
And so, like, that's a game where, like, while it has good music, you could just mute it and listen to your own music, and it doesn't change the game at all. But Halo, I think the music is essential, kind of like the other space epic that is being talked about today. So I just wanted to get that out. Someone else should.
Yeah, I agree with like, that no, statement I, because Chatter, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah. I take that back. There's definitely exceptions. Something like Ocarina of Time, where the whole game's mechanics are focused
the
on
music. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't a catch-all.
No, I feel you. Just, like, I think to, like, Mega Man and how important the music is and just setting the tone for what kind of level you're playing in, you know, whether it's an air stage with, like, a lot of high-soaring songs.
Yeah, I would argue that by saying that...
You can completely understand everything about Mega Man without hearing the soundtrack. Keenan, you should go, because we keep cutting you off, so I'm going to shut the MK up.
I was just agreeing with you that the way you were explaining it, I totally think that the way you said it, Mega Man definitely sounds like there's like two general categories that we seem to be like going back to, which is narrative focused and then like mechanic focused. And I think that really varies from game type to game type, and then within those categories from game to game. Because, you know, like you said, fighting games. I don't think I've ever heard a really, you know, oh, that's the song from Tekken 3.
Guile's theme.
That, like, I really...
Guile's theme.
Yeah, okay. That, like, I really remember versus, like, music that, like, actually was designed to evoke an emotional response. And I also agree with Matt a lot that in movies, sometimes it's super necessary. Like, I don't think that final confrontation at the end of The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, in which they played The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, would have been the same without that music. It could have been a different song. I don't think it would have had that, you know, it wouldn't have had that intensity and like the same music.
No.
A song from the same movie, The Ecstasy of Gold.
I fucking love The Ecstasy of Gold. It's so good.
Like, to me, just screamed so many emotions. I really felt what they were feeling on it. And the Marvel vs. Capcom games, I don't buy fighting games. Like I said earlier, I think. I didn't buy Naruto Ultimate Ninja... Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 or 4, I think. The most recent one. For, you know, like, the music. or like the single player. I bought it so I could like play as Kakazu, my man.
What is Zoo?
Kakazu? Shut up, man. He's a great character. I love that guy.
All right. Anyway, so then to go back to the Every Frame of Painting video and also to talk about my domain et al. For the first time, a lot of those movies and scenes need music to help them flow, but they don't necessarily need the music that they have. Like, you could swap the music between some of those movies, and it wouldn't necessarily make the movies worse, because I think that the Taimul and that video he had us watch do get it right, that a lot of the MCU films have pretty generic scores, whereas, like, something like The Dark Knight, you don't come out humming any of the songs. You probably can't imagine most of them in your brain right now, except maybe the Batman theme. Yeah, not that one, but but the music in that film, it elevates the film at every turn.
Batman movies that were made before it, all the other Batman movies that were made before it, were like super campy, and like you couldn't super take a lot of them except for maybe the first one seriously.
The two that Tim Burton made.
The first one, not the second one. I'm sorry.
The second one's so good.
No, it is. That's my least favorite. Anyway,
it's so good, and it's not campy. That one's still dark. Well, yeah. 80s dark.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if they had come in with anything less than the score that became the Batman Begins score, I don't think it would have been the same. And Chowder, you mentioned that it sets the tone sometimes, and I would argue in movies, if you need to set a different tone, you need different music. A lot of the Good and the Bad and the Ugly music and a whole bunch of Star Wars music really hit because it was, you know, it drove the story forward. I think movies are really doing themselves a disservice when they minimize the musical element, because, like, I just saw Wonder Woman. I've seen it twice now. Oh, my God. I really liked it. So good. But there's the one song that they played in the trailers a lot. The song goes...
Oh, yeah, the Wonder Woman theme from Batman.
Oh, I love that.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, that
sticks in your head, man.
I wish they had played it more.
Yeah, they only play it twice.
Yeah, and I think that's what music should... Like, movie music should be, because, like... I mean, I've listened to the Star Wars soundtrack so much, and like honestly, like there's so many songs in there that I've heard, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad that I heard that. And like I said, that like got me pumped, and I wanted to like watch it. I associate it now with like Diana Prince. Yeah,
same. I want to say you brought up the Star Wars score. Something about that that's interesting to talk about this discussion is a lot of the songs from that are based on like classical music pieces.
Yeah, no, what was it? I'm pretty sure that John Williams ripped off Gustav Holst, The Planet Suite. You know, yeah. That whole,
yep.
Cool.
Bum, 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 bum. You know?
Dude, you're totally correct.
Right? That's the song.
Like, no, there are a couple instances where, like, it's so similar that you're like, John Williams, really? But a lot of it just feels, like, inspired by, like he says. Like, he knew these classical songs, and he, you know, he felt like some parts of them fit the themes of this movie, and he composed whole songs based on, like, these bits, you know?
His stuff is very operatic.
Well, there's space operas, technically.
Even... non-Star Wars stuff is very operatic, I feel.
But something like the MCU films and the way that they're presented and the kinds of movies that they are, I feel like I should know the character's theme.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring up Marvel versus Capcom, because to me, I feel like even though they're all just fight songs, I also feel like they managed to like capture something in each of the characters, not just the superhero who's from Marvel, but also the Capcom characters.
Dude, we listened to too many already.
Yeah,
we did.
I've already given you a lot. That's why I didn't. But, and this is where our opinions disagree. And that's fine. Different opinions. Music is very subjective and all.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yum.
But like, I feel like each of these songs managed to capture something in the character. And I kind of wish the Marvel Cinematic Universe did that.
But Chowder, I would...
I guess I can see how the effort was there for Marvel versus Capcom.
I was going to say something. I was, you know...
Oh, sorry. I'm used to getting talked over.
Savage.
But I think, Chowder, whatever merit you may think it has was buried. Because I've played the games before. I'm pretty sure I played as Captain America at least twice. And I didn't remember it at all.
At least twice.
Well, the theme doesn't play when you choose a character. The theme plays depending on the stage.
Maybe you didn't think the songs were memorable, or maybe they didn't stick out to you, but do you feel as though they enhanced your gameplay experience? If the game were muted, would it have been worse?
I've played games like that in which there's been no music, and really it didn't super change it.
But that specific game, would it have been worse if it didn't have the music? Because I've played it, and I feel like while the music didn't stick out to me at all while playing the game, I felt like it enhanced the experience. It would be a little bit awkward for me to be playing a fighting game and to just hear, like,
Sonic Boom.
I was going to say that I agree with what you're saying, that if it hadn't been there, it would have felt a little different. And because of the format of the kind of fighting game that Marvel vs. Capcom is, I believe that, like, I like the music in the way that it sounds like fight game music.
So do you feel, Keenan, that the Marvel vs. Capcom music falls into the same category that I put the MCU music in? That the fact that there is music is essential, but the music that they used isn't?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Tenmo, do you want to take over again? The fucking animals have taken over the zoo in this episode. Jesus Christ.
Can confirm. I'm savage.
I like to think of myself as a very sleek
the MK-ing animals. I apologize.
Animal named MK.
Well, I've already given you 14 years of my love. 15 more seconds won't hurt. I don't know how long I've known Tamu. Wait, 14. Wait, I'm... Okay. Minus 14.
Like,
wait, like I'm trying to figure... Like, wait, no, that... Tamu, wait.
What?
When did we meet? Was it fourth grade or fifth? It's fourth?
Or 66. Or 67.
Fourth grade. It was the fourth grade.
Yeah, because you both...
So I have not given you 14 years of my love. I've given you 12 years of my love. What's 15 more seconds? Shit, anyway. Now everyone knows how old I am.
You're an old man.
Anyways.
Actually, I failed a bunch.
Your failures are your own,
so
old man.
Let's move on to the rating section, where each of the representatives will rate the music. And for this, I'll just have you rate the Marvel vs. Capcom music and just rate them as songs. And what you guys will rate them out of are Sentinels. Sentinel is a character from the X-Men.
Well, we know what side you're on in the Marvel vs. Capcom fight.
I'm actually on the Capcom side, but...
I quit then.
Then shouldn't it be out of 5 objections?
Beow, 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 beow. Anyways, so yeah, you guys will rate the Marvel vs. Capcom music out of 5 Sentinels. Once you're done with that, I will then grant a gold star to the person I think contributed most to this episode.
Remember, Chowder, quality, not quantity.
Yeah, Chowder. Is it an actual gold star?
Yeah, what are we getting?
Well, what you're getting this episode is a Wolverine Power Metal solo.
Well, I liked the songs that we listened to, but you all know my opinions by now. I said them multiple times during the discussion. So I think I'm going to rate the Marvel vs. Capcom songs 3 out of 5 Sentinels. 3 Sentinels. They clearly put a lot of effort into them, and the songs do fit the characters very well. But like we talked about in the discussion, I feel like they're not as pertinent to the gameplay or to the game in general, so I don't know if they're really being put to like their fullest use. So I'm gonna give them a 3 Sentinels. Nice little median rating there.
Yeah, 3 Sentinels to destroy at least 3 mutants.
Chowder, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to give this not the best rating. Now, I've never played any of the Marvel vs. Capcom games, so I really can't take into a perspective how they mesh, but just listening to the music itself, it's not very memorable for me. So I give it a 1 out of 5.
Oh, you're breaking my heart here, Matt.
Tom will remember what he did to you.
Anyway, now it's my turn. I have made my views which are the official statements of the High Sheriff's Office, which will be that I give the music 2 sentinels.
Because he doesn't want to be as bad as me.
Because I appreciate, like, I know effort was put into them. I like having it there because it sounds very fighting game-ish, but I don't super enjoy the format of most fighting games, and I also didn't super like a lot of these songs. I didn't really think they were unique in the way that I could say, oh, I know that, or even like when I heard them again, if you shuffle them up and play them to me, I wouldn't really be able to pick out any of them. So 2 sentinels.
And now I know how Colin feels.
And Knuckles.
Wait, all right. Why do you know how Colin feels? I don't get it.
Because the Sonic episode, Sonic was also rated a 3, a 2, and a 1.
Oh, mine was worse. I got, I think, a 3, a 1.5.
Wait, on what topic?
On Wizards.
Wait, when was this? Did this episode... Oh, okay, it didn't come out yet.
It's coming out this Friday. Anyways.
Gotcha. I was like, fuck, how did I miss an episode? I mean, okay, yeah, sorry. Go on, Tumul. Poo.
Anyways.
Keep messing up.
So, Tumul, which one of us gets the fucking powers? Hello?
Yeah, this is tough. You all were really good this episode. But if I had to give it to someone, I would give it to... Eddie Ryan.
I knew it. Ah, oh,
Eddie
fuck
Ryan
you.
Gets the Wolverine Power Metal solo.
Yes.
Why? I want justification.
After Eddie's... he basically started talking about all the concepts that I initiated.
I'm back, baby.
That's cool.
No, shut up, everyone. I Season 4, Common Geeking Program. I'm making a comeback. Okay. Season
no,
3 was during the writer's strike. Some mistakes were made with my character. Okay, he was sick the whole season. What is that? Okay, that's not relatable.
Yeah, we should have killed off his character.
And he wasn't. Winning? What? No, but season 4, okay, that's when I make my glorious return to triumph.
No, Chowder, you give us justification for his nonsense.
So, thank you, Timewool, yes. For giving me that which I rightfully deserve. And thank you to the new writers of the Common Geeking Program for understanding what my character is all about. So, can't wait to see you guys next time I'm a rep, where I'm gonna win the Gold Star Student Award again. Season 4, best season yet. Thank you very much.
This thing is scripted.
Rigged.
Everyone, run while you can.
Okay, so anyways, my justification. And it has nothing to do with the rating. No,
it has to do with the writing.
Oh, you meant that rating. I was about to say.
Tumul didn't have a choice. This is how the episode was written. Someone's gonna think I'm not kidding.
My reason is, Eddie brought up a lot of good points about, like, how music doesn't have to be hummable to be important. And while I don't agree with him on, like, how music in video mechanic-driven video game can be replaced, it is a strong point that is worth considering. So, yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much, Tumul. I'm very humbled and not braggadocious.
Of course, Eddie agrees with you.
And that's that.
Read your outro, nerd.
That about concludes this episode. Again, I'm Tumul Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. And this week's topic was Marvel vs. Capcom, and the theme was,
The theme was, this show is scripted.
Yeah, rigged.
No, I'm not salty.
Neither am I.
You can check out Marvel vs. Capcom on a variety of different systems. I'm not going to list them all. Our next episode will be hosted by... I have no clue.
Me, Edward Ryan. I'm going to be hosting the next episode, and it's going to be about the web series VGHS. I'm going to have the people who are on that episode watch season 1. It's about 2 hours long. You can check it out on Netflix, on Rocket Jump's YouTube channel, or on rocketjump.com. It's going to be pretty spicy.
At least then he can't give himself a gold star.
You think I can't, but I can.
What if you just, like, edit yourself in to, like, as a rep?
As a representative.
You lie about, when we listen to the episode when it's released, it's like, you pretend, and I am Spielkus.
I am Spielkus. And then at the end, I do a big reveal. I was Spielkus all along.
And then we're just really confused about a Spielkus, and you're just a piece of shit. You steal everyone's best points.
Oh, this is my friend Spielkus. He's guesting this episode. Hello, I am Spielkus.
Okay, I have some Bavaria.
All right. If any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program, or email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review. It's a great way for more people to find our show, as is recommending us to friends. If you want to know more,
go to commongeekingprogram.com.
In a word, okay.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Chowder, just Chowder. He was joined by the Eddie we deserve, High Sheriff Keenan the Good, and Matt Canavan, who I guess we didn't kill off well enough thanks to his soap opera resurrection. The podcast is sponsored by Backseat Hosting. Eddie deserved that gold star more than you realize. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, featuring original music, also by me. Don't forget we are still raffling off the chance for one of you to pick a topic for a future episode, and all you need to do to enter the raffle is share the posts that we make each week on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure to tune in next Friday when Eddie talks about VGHS, and thank you for listening to this.
I'm recording again. Hi, how you doing, Colin? I miss you.
I have begun recording.
I have begun the second recording.
Das ist mein Recording.
Das ist mein Recording, ja. Und we are so glad you have returned from our favorite...
Du bist aus wie ein fetter Säufer.
Our favorite... thank you for listening to a word from our sponsors. Chuckles. Chuckles quietly to ourselves. Germany's favorite way to amuse.
Hello. Welcome to the Common Geeking Program.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Common Geeking Program. Welcome back, Herr. Yeah.
Das ist wunderbar.
Ah, wunderbar, yeah. God in Himmel, it is so fun in here.
God have mercy on us all.
We will clap at 40.
Have you tried the hot cocoa?
Should we clap at 45?
It's too late for that.
5 seconds.
Welcome to the
no,
Common Cocoa Program.
Let's clap at 10 seconds.
This is Hans.
10 seconds, guys.
5 seconds!
Right. Whoa. What do you fucking mean, 5 seconds?
You fucked up, Keenan. Alright. You on chronograph, my boy?
Nope, sorry. Y'all fucked up. Yeah, I'm on chronograph. I stopped watching Mountain Time.